Anyway, welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and every podcast catcher and YouTube. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And as always, my co-host, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Six.
Hello.
And you've been surprising guests as of late by your presence. People didn't expect you to be in studio, and then there you are.
Oh, yeah.
So, but Nicole, we got a great day guest today, because a very opportune one, because I know that you, and we talked about this when we had Ayoka on the show a couple weeks ago, but you kind of come to an epiphany on dating.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to have a date, at least a date this, at least one, maybe more this week. We'll see how that goes. But we have a dating expert, a lot of things. She's an author. She's a writer. She also does love tarot and other mystical things. And she is the author of, and I want to get this right because I don't want to screw it up. She is the author of Apologies I Never Got. I want to make sure I got that right.
That's it. You got it.
And lest I have to apologize to you. Bethany Nicole. Hi, Bethany.
Hi, me.
And we're going to talk about apologies you never got, all sorts of dating mishaps, where you come from, where you are, and all that stuff. And we're going to talk about all sorts of things of all three of our dating lives. But before we do, got to get the sponsors out of the way. And I got a nice ice cold Raise energy drink because I got to keep up with your energy. And this is the best energy drink. Nicole, this is my last Baja Lime.
Oh, no, you'll have to get more.
Because you tried the South Beach and I liked it. You thought the Baja Lime was better.
Yes, I think the Baja Lime's better.
Baja Lime tastes like Baja Blast from Taco Bell, except better. There's electrolytes, all sorts of stuff in here. Zero carbs, zero calories, zero crash. Go to the description of the show, do what I did, and get 15% off a case of Raise energy drinks. If you're watching this on YouTube or you're listening to us on a podcast catcher, there is a link where you can get that 50% off and a code. There we go. Delicious. We're also sponsored by Audible. You go to audibletrial.com/DMS. You get a free book and a 30-day trial to Audible and access to hundreds of Audible originals. Now, Bethany and Nicole, I put dating into the search engine at Audible. I've got a dating playbook for men, a proven seven-step system to go from single to the woman of your dreams. Also,
oh, wow.
On the other hand, never chase men again. Dating essentials for men. Dating sucks, but you don't. To date a man, you must understand a man. The keys to catch a great guy. Unfuck your intimacy. Boundaries in dating. Why? It's deeper dating. You got everything. Let him take you. And very soon, I'm sure, apologies I never got. But actually, Bethany Nicole podcast, a couple of them are on Audible, and this will be on Audible as well. So excellent. Go to audibletrial.com/DMS, get a free book and a 30-day trial. Now, Bethany, I know you grew up in North Carolina.
Yes.
And your father was a big deal in the town.
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. And so a Freudian psychologist would say that any issues with men you've had because your father was such a domineering figure and you had that divorce and the whole thing, right?
Yes. Yes. I would be probably what you would classify as classic daddy issues. my dad is also currently married to someone my age. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and he was not young when he had me. So, yes, I would be the Freudian example of what could be daddy issues and how to work through them so that you don't bring them into your dating life.
Right. Well, he is in North Carolina. Thank goodness he's not dating anybody that's related to you. But do you tend to date older men because of that?
I actually did go through a phase of that. Like, again, I had to go through a lot of work and a lot of therapy to kind of work through some of those very pleasant experiences. But Yeah, and that really, but there was a phase in my life where I did date older men. I do tend to go for at least a little bit older, just because I kind of like that maturity. I kind of like that establishment in their lives, but it's not vastly older. It's not like 36 years my senior, like the woman my dad's married to now. So not that much older, but yeah, usually like the 5 to 10 year range.
You're not going to the retirement homes and picking
not up picking up my men at the retirement home.
No, but I know girls that are, I know women that are really like that. I know my friend was, she was in her late 30s, early 40s, dating a 78-year-old guy and bragging about it.
Yeah. I mean, something for everyone. And, you know, there are people who genuinely have that connection and different things. But I think when you're really acting out from a wound space, you can feel that the energy is a little bit different than someone who has a genuine connection with somebody.
Yeah, I'm really, I'm kind of an anomaly on that because I don't care. Age doesn't really matter. Obviously, age consent, but you know, if you're 25 or you're 65, that's or older. If you're cool, you're cute. I'm into it.
Yeah.
I've dated across the spectrum, and I know a lot of people. And Nicole, I think, is one of them. That women are like, I'm not going to date younger men. There's no way.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, there's just sometimes just not that maturity level, or they're just not really established, or they're kind of looking for, you know, like a mother figure to kind of help them through life choices. So I definitely get not wanting to maybe date younger, but I mean, of course, it always depends on the person.
I don't want to speak for you, Nicole, but
slightly younger. It just depends on how much younger. Like, I wouldn't date someone like 10 years younger, you know, but I date someone in their early 30s.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I just think the thing is everybody matures at their own pace. And trust me, I know people I know men in their 60s and 70s, and Nicole knows some of these guys too. Go to the Rainbow. You'll see a lot of them that are not mature and are definitely of age and not mature at all.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. If you're 60 years old and you're wearing tight leather pants, showing your junk, not terribly mature, I don't think, but that's a neither here nor there. Anyway, so the thing that I think is great about you, that's very ironic about you, is that you went from Austin to LA, which is the exact opposite of where the world is going.
Everyone else is doing.
Everybody's
right
going
now.
From LA to Austin.
Yeah.
I mean, this was 3 years ago, but when the pandemic hit, just everybody left and went to Austin. Now, how is Austin because I'm not moving. Don't worry about it. But I went to Austin. I was at Austin one day, and it was the first day of school, so like nobody was around, so I didn't really get a big sense of the town. I mean, how is it?
It's really fun. I mean, it's a lot like LA on maybe a smaller scale, and then, you know, live music is really their thing, and you know, it's kind of an oasis within Texas. Like, it has, you know, kind of its own system going, but you can still get the Texas vibes. Like, there's still like line dancing places, and you still have like a lot of country music and different things. So
right.
It's a little bit like LA though, just with, you know, kind of the pace and the type of people and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I gotta learn to line dance. But how did you get from North Carolina to Austin? Because I was reading, it was kind of sad that after you graduated high school, you were kicked out of the house.
Well, I moved to Florida to go to college, and that was, my parents divorced when I was 18, so, or 17, I guess, right when I was graduating high school, they divorced, and that was kind of when my dad started, they both got remarried immediately, and that was, my dad was living in the home that we kind of grew up in, and so, by Thanksgiving, he'd already remarried and had someone else move in, and they really just didn't want any of his kids there. And so so that was kind of it.
Is this a young girl he's still with, or is this a different young girl?
No, he's been through a few. Yeah.
he's one of those old guys on Tinder that's age restricted. Nicole doesn't see him, but they're there.
Yeah.
Because somebody said to me, they're like, are there people in their 50s on Tinder? I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah, they're there. Mm-hmm.
I don't age block, but you do. So I don't the reason I don't age block is there are three types of people that seem to be attracted to me, and women over 60 is one of them.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what it is. Once they hit 60, I don't know if it's glaucoma I don't know if it's the dementia, but I've dated some extraordinary women over 60.
Wow.
Not obviously, we haven't married, and I'm not with them now. But you know, it's just, and I don't have a mother fetish. I have a mother. I have a father. I don't have a. It's none of that. It's just I go with who likes me, and that's a woman. Now you have written this book, and you have a blog about apologies you never got. Now, what apologies should you have got?
I mean, for me, it really kind of started in the dating realm, I guess, because I really hadn't initially made that connection of, oh, my relationships are like this because I haven't dealt with a lot of, you know, the family stuff. But I just kept seeming to call in these really off the wall relationship experiences, and I couldn't quite figure it out. So it really started as kind of a joke with me and my friends of like, oh, there's an apology I'll never get, like, and just about the dating and relationships. So we kind of created it based off that. Like, we would just, every time anyone had a really bad date, we'd laugh about it and be like, oh, there's an apology I'll never get. And it really just kind of like blossomed from there because everyone's got those stories. And then as I started compiling them and working with them, you know, then the whole concept kind of came in of, you know, if you're waiting for these apologies from anybody, you're never going to get them, and you don't need them really. I mean, you have to take control of your own healing and your own situation. Like, obviously I'm never going to get an apology from my father or his current wife or any of his ex-wives or my mother or whoever, like none of the guys I've dated, like nobody is going to come around and really fully understand what they've done or how they've affected me. So that's kind of where apologies kind of grew out of just like, oh, but like, I can't just continue to live my life calling in these bad relationships or being so angry at everybody, because all that does is destroy my life and my dating world. And, you know, you have to kind of learn to give yourself that apology and just let it go and move on and just say, you know, this person's actions are their decision and everything else is mine.
Right. Well, I've psychoanalyzed you enough, so I'm not going to try to do it more, but I will say that I think your parents eventually will apologize, probably down the road when they're really facing mortality and they've realized what their life. So it seems to be a pattern. But anyway, so we've all had messed up relationships. We've all had messed up dating lives. I've never actually asked for an apology or expected an apology. I just, if the situation is bad, either they break up with me or I break up with them. And you know, there's only one time where nothing was really articulated, but I didn't expect an apology. I wanted an explanation, but I never really got one. So it's fine.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's part of it. It's not so much even that people are holding back the apologies. Like, they maybe don't even know, you know, why they did it or what their explanation is. And, you know, especially in dating and relationships, it's really hard to explain, you know, why you act this way or why you're not into this person, but you were yesterday and you're not today.
That's never happened to me.
Really? Okay.
If I dig somebody, I dig them. I mean, you know.
What's do you know your sun sign? Do you know what you?
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. We're going to dive in.
Take a guess. You already know my personality by now. Take a wild guess.
I don't know. Are you Scorpio?
There you go.
All that dark energy.
One of the few that has.
All right.
So you actually know what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm a Scorpio moon, so we are kindred.
Look at that smile, Nicole. We're going to talk astrology and magic and all sorts of things. But,
is Nicole going to like tune out? She's like, I'm
no,
not.
No, no, she also
oh, no,
doesn't
I'm
talk
a witch,
about it.
She's
you're a witch. All oh, right. Love it.
But before we get to that, and we're going to get to that, but I got to get this out of the way. So because I will top you, both of you, the worst dating story.
I want to hear this. Yeah.
No, I want to hear yours first.
You want to hear mine?
Yeah, I can top yours and I can top Nicole's.
Okay.
Let's hear yours first. You're our guest.
Okay. I'll actually give you the one that started the book.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So it was the second date with a guy. We had gone to dinner once. It was very... it was pleasant, but it was very, you know, borderline boring. Like, he was really kind of nerdy and not really my type, but I was just coming out of another relationship. And so I thought I would, you know, dip my toes in and he felt pretty safe. And so we had a first date, and we kind of had some mutual friends and things. And so on our second date, we went out to dinner again. Again, it was just very boring. And this was back when Planet Earth was still kind of new and around. And so we went back to his apartment to watch Planet Earth. And we were sitting on separate sides of the couch. It was like an L-shaped couch.
Oh, okay. You were watching. I thought like you dated just after the Big Bang. I didn't know what was going on.
Okay. So he was on one side. I was on the other. We weren't touching. I don't even think we'd kissed by this point. Like, honestly, we might have had a peck on the first date, but nothing. That's so out of the like clear blue sky, this guy turns to me and asks me to give him, this is a direct quote, a release.
A what?
A release. And I thought, surely I have misunderstood what he is asking for. So I asked him to clarify, and he literally told me, yeah, you know, like blowjob, hand job, your choice. Second date.
I thought he was like a lawyer, get a lawyer to sign something. Oh, that man has no game whatsoever. That guy is terrible. He's kind of nerdy, so I'll send him to Cole's way, but he sounds awful.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
That's a bad date.
I'll send him my way. He's boring. I don't like boring.
No, he's boring, except for his wildly inappropriate requests.
Yeah, you don't go from 0 to 100. You got to rev it up a little bit.
You gotta escalate something.
It's like, yeah, there's absolutely no sexual chemistry whatsoever. Yeah, could you stick your finger up my ass, give me a release? No, that doesn't
work that way.
Yeah, I'm just projecting what the third date would have been like. Nicole, what's the worst date you've been on?
Oh, this is a two different things. So first, there was a guy I kept dating who would stand me up. I would get all ready. He would tell me he was on his way and then just not show up. So that's really bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't count that because we never went on the date, but I still wanted to explain that because it made a whole rule where if you stand me up once, I just cut you off after that. Like, you can tell me that something's going on, you can cancel, but to just say you're on your way and then never arrive and give me no explanation for like 5 hours, I still don't know what was wrong with that guy.
He did it
multiple times, and we had been friends before we started dating, so I was a little bit more lenient with him. But after like the third time I'm doing that, I was just like, nah, I'm not going out with you anymore. Anyway, so I went on this date with this nice guy I met. And so the first date was cute. He asked if he could kiss me. I said, okay. But the second date, he gets real quiet and he goes, I think my fetishes will turn you off. And I'm like, okay, well.
That's a good start. All right.
Well, you can share them with me and I'll let you know. I'll be the decider of that. And so he's like, I want you to pee in my mouth. And I said,
oh.
And he described it in vivid detail, how I wanted me to like straddle him and pee in his mouth. And I'm like, that's not sanitary. He's like, my ex-girlfriend used to do it all the time. It's fine. I'm like, I'm not doing that. So yeah.
I didn't know you went out with Donald Trump, but that's a very interesting but that's a bad date. That is a bad date.
So I was very polite about it, but I was basically like, yeah, you're right. Your fetishes aren't for me. So.
No, wait. You were at his apartment, right?
No, I was at dinner with him.
No, when he said this, where were you?
We were at dinner. I didn't go back home with him at all. It was only the second date.
God, wouldn't that suck if you actually had to go to the bathroom, like right at that moment? Excuse me, I have to pee. It's like, oh, can I come? No. Those are bad dates.
That's a bad
date. All right, your turn, Mark.
Yeah, okay. You're up, Mark.
Okay. I met this girl online. There's a caveat right there. We bonded over our mutual love of Tori Amos music. We seemed to have great chemistry online and on the phone. So I took her to see this band that was playing in Silver Lake, is along the Tori Amos lines. So I pick her up in North Hollywood, and she comes out and she's beautiful. I mean, I'd seen her pictures online, but she was beautiful, really in the flesh. And I was very excited for the date. I was very optimistic. And she gets in the car and she says, you're a comedian, huh? I'm like, yeah. Which is, yeah, that's what follows is usually not good, but it's usually not this bad. She said, you're a comedian, huh? I said, yeah. She said, do you know any N-word jokes?
Oh.
Did not say N-word.
Oh my goodness.
She actually said the word. Now, wow. This is a tricky question to answer because I know some. As most decent people, I don't tell them. So on the way from North Hollywood to Silver Lake, I've got to hear every N-word joke. Some I've heard, some I haven't heard. I didn't take any notes. So we get to the club, and I finally get the conversation off overt racism and onto other subjects, and we seem to be having a good time. And then she said, excuse me, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. And she never came back.
Wow.
She had her friend pick her up in front of the club and drive her home. Didn't tell me, didn't text me, nothing. And there was no in and outs. So I kept going in front, back, like looking all over for her. And then finally I got a hold of her and she's like, yeah, I just left. Which, I mean, you know, there was no second date, but I'm like, I could have taken you home if you just weren't having a good time. So that's a bad date.
That's a bad date.
That is a bad date.
So I think I beat you both.
No.
But they're all bad. They're all bad.
She's a pee on her, maybe.
They're all bad. They're all bad. See, but then again, I'm a man, though, because, you know, if a woman wants you to give them release or pee, you know, or have them pee on you, you think about it at least.
I can't see you peeing on anybody.
No, would they pee on me? I don't like. I'm not into that, but. I wouldn't, I would think about it. I would say, yeah. So I don't know. So those are the examples, but there's nothing she has to apologize for except for being a racist bitch. But you know, what am I going to do? I don't want an apology from her. I just want her out of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's the point. At a certain point, you're like, I don't even care. Just go.
But it's a cute premise to go by. It's similar to Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. He's not just not that interested to you. And what's the Steve Harvey one? Think like, be like a woman. Be like a woman, but think like a man. Like all sorts of things. Yeah. What is it about men that is so confusing to women dating? I don't get it.
I mean, we could dive into the whole, like, what society has done to create this toxic dating culture. We could get into that, but I think. The point, like, it all comes down to, like, it's confusing for women because men are confused. I think men are having a hard time figuring out what it is that they actually want.
No, they don't. Absolutely not.
No, you don't think so?
Men are a step above chimp. we want sex. That's what we want.
That used to be.
Yeah, we got that memo.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that wood is there to figure out. That's it. I'm serious. I'm not making any. I mean,
I have a girlfriend who literally she's dated two guys in the past 6 months, and both of them pretended like they wanted a relationship, and like they would tell her like all sorts of cute stuff, talk about kids and all that, and then it turned out like one of them had a girlfriend, and the other one, something came up that was really bad about him that I won't put on the air. But basically it was like they were just playing. And is it because they genuinely don't know what they want, or is it because they think that women want to hear this? But trust me, men are complicated and confusing.
Absolutely not. Both those situations, I'm telling you, they wanted to fuck somebody else. That's all it was. That's it. The guy that had the family, he wanted to fuck somebody else. And he wasn't honest enough to say, okay, I want to be polyamorous. Now we're talking very binary here. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many. I mean, you know, we're talking about two genders, and there's like 28 now. But men are so simple. Any scenario you can give me, I can put it down. And I'm not saying men don't want relationships. I'm not saying men don't want families. I'm not saying men don't value romance. But number one is sex. And if you want to keep a man happy, pizza, beer, blowjob. You're set for a month.
That's it, man.
And I'm ashamed to say this as a straight man, but it's true.
Yeah, but Mark, not all men are 100% straight anymore. I'm trying to tell you they have complicated emotions because as one of someone once said they're raised by women, not men anymore. So they have all these feelings.
That's part of it. Yes. There's two things going on here. Men are raised by women. And that is part of the problem. Men are raised by women and they don't have male role models. My parents are still together. I'm the anomaly. And I have a strong father and a strong mother. Hence, despite what I've just been saying about men, which is true, I do respect women. And also the other thing is that every woman, I would say 99%, if not 100%, has been sexually attacked or had some sexually inappropriate activity done upon them. So you've got those forces going at it. You've got men that have never had a man to tell them how to treat a woman, mm-hmm. and women that a lot of them have never been treated right.
Yeah.
How do you apologize for that, Bethany?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're really in a battle right now of, you know, because of that, women really tune out of their own bodies. I mean, even when they haven't necessarily had negative sexual experiences, a lot of them haven't been great. A lot of them haven't been something they fully participated in. So I think, you know, men really try to create relationships from the physical, but women aren't there. Women aren't in their bodies as much anymore. And women are trying to create these emotional bonds, and men are in their bodies and not in their emotions. So we're just like crisscrossing all the time. And I think,
although
apology is like learning how to balance this back out.
Although I've insisted on this on the show and in my act and just in my life a lot of times, and that women are driven by the physical way more than they admit. And I think men are more emotional than they let on.
Women are definitely driven, but they just are taught, you know, is, and they're not learning how to, you know, really stand in their own power and say, this is what I like, this is what I want, this is how I orgasm, you know, this is what you need to do to get me there. And so men are just missing the boat. They're just doing all kinds of weird stuff that women are like, I don't know what's happening. Like, this isn't.
Well, it's funny because I had a friend that told me, and this is going to, when women are like, I am not, physical doesn't matter to me. I want a man with a sense of humor that's nice and blah, 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 blah. Somebody told me, you know what? You should get on Bumble, because people on Bumble have deeper relationships than other dating sites. And I think you'll meet a really nice woman on Bumble. I've been on Bumble for 5 fucking years, have never had one woman send me a message. Not one.
Wow. See, I
don't
think,
tell me it's not, you're not into the physical.
I think Hinge is actually more the relationship one. I think Bumble has, like, Bumble's above Tinder. And this is my personal opinion. There is no facts behind this. But, but I think Hinge is the top tier one these days. And
oh,
then,
really? Okay.
Yeah, that's my personal opinion. I have so many friends that have met long-term partners from Hinge. I've been on Hinge and I've had success with it, but I will say Bumble has been a bit hit or miss for most people I know.
Yeah, it's it flips everything around, and the woman has to be the aggressor. And I don't know how that's cool with me, but whatever. Anyway, I didn't mean to rant and I didn't mean to go off, but I've got to, you know, I'm surrounded by women here as usual, so I got But no, Tinder, the great thing about Tinder, the funniest thing about Tinder to me, other than the woman that sent me a message and said that she would send me nudes if I would buy her grandson a skateboard ramp. But I Googled skateboard ramps and I told her no. But
balanced.
Yeah. Is almost every woman puts in her profile, I'm not looking for a hookup.
Yeah.
It's a hookup site. I guarantee.
Mark literally says, not here for anything serious, just here for fun. So I'm not doing that on my Tinder. But I know what Tinder is for. Tinder is to meet people in a superficial way and have sex.
Yes. I guarantee you on Grindr, you don't see guys going, you know, I'm not looking for a hookup here. I'm looking for a real relationship.
Yeah.
They know. It's what it is. Anyway, Nicole, this goes into your dating epiphany, which I want to get into.
Okay.
Tell Bethany your dating epiphany.
I realized for a long time that I had misconceptions that are brought to you by, you know, society's romantic films and stuff, where like you meet someone and they take you out of the darkness and they save you, or, you know, you you meet someone and they're like the perfect partner for you and you build something together. And I just realized I'm not looking for a savior or a partner anymore. I'm looking for someone who entertains me. Like, I don't want to be bored, because that's the whole thing. Eventually your relationship gets boring. And like, if it's not, the guy I'm seeing right now, he's very exciting. When I met him, he pulled out a knife and cut a piece of fish off for me. Like, it started with excitement right away. And like,
oh, you're dating that guy now.
I don't. Anyway.
Go ahead.
I'll explain this to you later.
That's okay. Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, no, I got the Gordon Fisherman. I get it. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway. Sorry.
Long John Silver. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. So the person, we're not dating at this second. He's fun. But we were dating and like we're hanging out again. And like I don't want to go into it. It's too fucking complicated to try to explain on this. That's why I said that. But the guy that I'm into right now, that I spend a lot of time with when he's in town, is, the point is he's very exciting. When we meet up, we like go to different places and we have exciting adventures together. And I want to have an exciting romance. So.
I like that epiphany. Yeah, I think that's definitely a big part of it. When we get settled in who we are and we're not looking for someone to fill like the emotional holes or the physical as far as like financial or whatever it is, then we can get to a point where we do want to bring in people who just add to our lives because there's nothing missing. And I feel like that's when you get to this higher level of dating and intimacy and connections. And like, I think that's, yeah, an amazing epiphany to just be like, I want someone to add this beautiful aspect to my life, this color, this excitement, because I feel like that's really what dating should be, instead of like, oh, I want him to fill this financial void or this like daddy issue wound or like whatever it is. But like, I think, yeah, that's like, it's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, when you filled everything else, then you're ready to bring in someone who just adds to your life.
A series of fun adventures. Instead of, okay, this is the first step and then the second step and then he's going to move in, then we're going to get married and then we're going to do this. And we're going to, and I just came from a wedding on Saturday, my friend Joe. And my friends Joe and Kat got married, and it was lovely. And they met at work, which I think is a big no-no, but it worked for them.
Oh, yeah, that is a tough one.
See, you've got an interesting, you can't really date anybody you work with because you're a freelance writer and you do readings and things like that.
Yeah.
like, what are these love readings that you do with a love tarot thing?
Yeah, they're really cool. I just have a couple different decks that I use. I mainly do relationship ones that I can do kind of all kinds. And then I just kind of do a reading and see kind of what the cards pull up. And then by that, I'm kind of able to see maybe what's blocking someone or what they're bringing in or why they're kind of struggling, or if it's two people, kind of what their dynamics in the relationship are. I get into their astrology a little bit and just where their communication might be gapping. But yeah, the cards are, it's just really crazy to watch because like, I'll give you an example. Like one of the cards is sacral chakra, which is your second chakra. And so like, if I were to pull that and it's the top card and I'm doing a male, like a reading for a male, like to me as the reader, that means mother issues. And so if I get that card at the top, I know that means he's dealing with something in that arena that is causing him to either maybe lash out at women or maybe need them too much, or it kind of depends on what else is in the reading, but just generally the cards just give me kind of a tip of like, okay, this is what's going on with this person. And then as we talk, I can kind of dive in and see what specific to them is going on. But yeah, it's crazy how effective it is.
Well, I mean, you're obviously intuitive because you got the Scorpio thing right off the bat, and most people don't.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I've had the people that are really deep in astrology. I think Nicole, I think we did this, and
I didn't know what you were.
Yeah, I get that. People get that wrong a lot. Now, what does that mean? Now, I don't want you to give it a whole reading, but you how are you able to determine that?
on the just what you are or what it means or
both? Yeah.
It's just a hit. It's just an intuitive hit. And so like Scorpio is usually just this very dark energy. Not, and when I say dark, I don't mean like bad. Nah. It's not bad and good. It's just like it's light and dark. It's a balance. So Scorpio is just this very dark, deep, watery energy. It's the representative of death, which also that sounds bad, but in, you know, in astrology, it's not, because to have rebirth, you have to have death.
Right.
So yeah, you just really have this very like Scorpio vibe. And I can tell you've got a lot of that deep emotional energy. And then, you know, when I said that like line about how people can change their minds and you're like, that doesn't happen to me. Well, that wouldn't happen to you. You're a Scorpio. Like Scorpios are very loyal. They really want that deep connection with someone. Like mm-hmm. they're very ride or die. So
yeah,
for you, you would have a really hard time flipping, but like for like a Gemini or maybe another air sign, they can flip like on a dime. Like one day they're into you, the next day they're not.
Mm.
And that's just kind of how they can operate. Not necessarily, it depends on, you know, kind of what else is in their chart, but yeah, Scorpios are very like long-term, very like, you would not be happy with someone who is a surface level connection. Like you want to get like, really deep in there with them and yeah, and just really kind of have that type of connection. Whereas like if you were paired with an air sign, that might not be a good fit because that would really like scare them. That's not their level of intimacy. And you would probably be unhappy because they couldn't reach that level that you want. Mm-hmm. So that's yeah. kind of like how Scorpio would play into like a love interaction, let's say.
Okay. Well, now I know. But
they're also very highly sexual. So that is
I've heard that.
And yeah. in a good way. In a good way. So like if you match with the right person, then that passion's gonna be like yeah. really, really big. But the downside of Scorpio is it is the scorpion, so it stings. So if somebody does wrong you or does get to that point, it's hard for them to get to that point because you're very loyal. But if they do, then you can be kind of vindictive. You can kind of sting back, whether it's like words or emotions or even like, I don't know, like you cut off their utilities or something. Like Scorpios can be very like
I don't lash out. Other than probably, you know, and obviously I'm a comedian, I probably, you know, just giving them a piece of my mind. You know, I've been wronged by women, but I haven't, I'm not somebody, first of all, I'm friends with most of my girlfriends, ex-girlfriends, mm-hmm. all my girlfriends. I'm friends with, Freudian slip, I'm friends with most of my ex-girlfriends. We're friends, you know, they got their whole, their own life, but you know, we touch base here and there. And there's no hard feelings. And I'm not, so I don't relate to that. I'm sure in the heat of the moment, I'm sure I said some caustic things, but, you know, probably my longest relationship, she cheated on me with a man and a woman, which, you know, sucks because I can't watch tag team wrestling now, but, it was a foursome. It was two guys, two girls. That's why I can't watch tag team wrestling. I messed up the joke. Anyway, but it's a true story. And I'm just a zero tolerance as far as cheating.
Yeah.
Zero tolerance. There's no excuse for it. I've never cheated on anybody. I never would. I would break up with somebody before I cheated, and I have.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I start looking around, then it's probably not working.
Yeah.
But I don't understand the mentality why I haven't cheated on. So but I'm not somebody that holds a grudge or does that. So I don't know.
But it also depends a lot on, so like in dating and relationships, it's a lot about your moon sign, which is your emotional seat, and then your Venus, which is like your love sign. So it depends on like what's in that too. There's like kind of a lot that goes into.
But I know a lot of people, and probably most people, I know I'm very much a, I hate to keep saying that, but I'm very much not the main, not most people, because I know most people really just have this seething rage for ex-partners.
Mm-hmm.
That have done them wrong, and yeah. you know, somebody's even writing a book about apologies they should have given them. And let's get back to that question: what's an apology you should have got?
Yeah, I mean,
from an ex-boyfriend.
I had a cheating situation too. He cheated on me with his roommate and then like gaslighted me about it for months. And
now define gaslighting, because I've heard a few different definitions of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically at its core just trying to break someone down to convince them that something that is very clearly happening is not happening. It's just trying to kind of get at them enough to, you know, make them back off of what's happening and just kind of make them feel like they're the one with the problem. And, you know, it's not them, it's you. Like, you're the one who's jealous and you're seeing things that aren't there. And, you know, but it's like, no, you're cheating on me. So
basically bullshitting is what it is.
Yeah. It's a really painful process because you're upset about what's happening and what you can feel. And then, and then you're upset that your partner is like really breaking you down in this way. And this was this was a long time ago before I really kind of stepped into my intuition and that kind of thing. And so, I knew it immediately. I just didn't really own it right away. And, you know, it took months, and then it actually really took us breaking up. And then he had, one of his friends actually came to me and was like, yeah, that happened. So I was like, no, I know it did, you know, it just, but it was just a really painful process. But eventually I just kind of was like, you know, it doesn't matter anymore. You know, it does, but I'm not going to bring that into a new relationship.
He never apologized to you for cheating on
him. He never admitted it. He never apologized. And at a certain point though, I mean, did I want to bring that into a new relationship? No. Do I want to be suspicious or jealous? No. So I just kind of did the inner work on it myself, and you know, he can live his life how he wants. I mean, to live my life how I want. And, you know, thankfully, as far as I know, it hasn't happened to me again. And if it has, they're really good at it, I guess.
And forgive my ignorance about all of these things, because I don't know. I just either like you or I don't. And then I go, well, with you or I don't. But what's grooming? I keep hearing this.
What's grooming?
Grooming. What is that?
Yeah, it would just be kind of like preparing someone to be in a situation that maybe they wouldn't initially be comfortable with, but you're kind of engaging in a process that would get them to be comfortable with that. So you're trying to gain trust kind of under false pretenses to get them comfortable with something that right off the bat they would not be comfortable with, if that makes sense.
These guys, man, they keep making this stuff up. Like, we had Ross Jeffries on the show. I thought the pickup artist stuff was weird, but now they got this gaslighting and grooming and all this.
Grooming, ghosting, and tell all Nicole, the cheese.
Tell Nicole about woke fishing.
Woke fishing. Yeah, that's a big one here in LA. So that's where the person pretends to be a lot more like spiritual or enlightened, whatever term you want to use, than they actually are. And so they kind of try to create that shield around them to allow them to do whatever they want under this pretense of, oh, well, I'm really enlightened and, you know, it's okay for me to act this way, but it's not okay for you to lash out at me about it. Just like this really awful dating trend that is sweeping LA.
That would make me very unhappy.
My friend had one. She dated a guy who called himself the urban shaman. And The urban shaman.
There's warning flag number one.
Yeah. And he just like pretty much used her to like cook for him and use her shower and like cater to him and just like all under this pretense of like, I'm this really spiritual guy. And so I just need all of this support. And like, you know, at the end of the day, he was just a jerk. So, but it was, you know, such a process. And she felt kind of, you know, gaslighted of like, okay, this doesn't feel good, but this guy is saying that he's doing all these things as like a partner or as like, you know, this enlightened person. And so it's just this really gross trend that is really active in LA right now.
You know, I'm gonna look out the urban shaman as soon as we get up.
Yeah, go see if you can find it. I don't know what he does now. I don't know if he has like a whole website or whatever, but
like how urban is a shaman? Is like is he hanging in Compton? I mean, what?
I don't know.
Yes, but I've heard about that. I saw something. I was reading some blog about something where actually, speaking of Tinder and Hinge and all the online dating sites, somebody was had a wrote a whole article about how all these guys are saying they're feminists.
Mm-hmm.
And then these girls go out with them and they're like, oh, they're really male chauvinists.
Yeah, there's like a, you know, the toxic masculinity movement. So it kind of ties in with that a little bit. And that actually happened. I had a story that happened that way to me, like, because obviously, like, with my writing and the tarot, like, I get a lot of, like, you know, spiritual guys, I guess, and spiritual. And so I had a guy that... What's that?
You shouldn't date a client, should you?
No, I mean, just, like, being attracted or, like, wanting to date or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, he was, I mean, he was the worst. Like, he read tarot, he, you know, was like a yoga teacher and all these things. And then he basically just told me, like, after we'd been dating for a little bit, he was just like, I don't want like a relationship with you. I just want us to have an understanding. And I was like, what does that mean? And he basically was like, I just can't take on anyone else's emotional space right now. But I have a lot going on, so I would really appreciate you supporting me. And then if we could be physical, I think that would help. I was just like, what is happening?
I giggled when I read it, when I read the blog. It was great.
Yeah, yeah. So bad.
What a douche. You think a man can be a feminist? Let me ask you that, because I've been accused of it. And I'm such a feminist, I don't think a man can be a feminist.
How so?
I don't think a man knows what it's like to be a woman. Unless unless you're transsexual, I don't think you can really know what it's like to be a woman. You can be sympathetic towards feminists. You could be friends of feminists. I don't think
you'd be like an ally. Feminist.
Yeah. Yeah, be an ally, but that's it. That's my personal opinion, but that's, you know, coming from you know, a white male. What can I tell you? Nicole, you think a man can be a feminist?
I think they can be an ally, but I agree. At the end of the day, they don't really understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I now, is the book published yet or?
No, I'm still working with lit agents, and that's a whole
Nicole knows process. About that. She knows that world.
What's that?
Nicole's a writer. She knows that world. So.
Oh, yeah.
You know literary agents and all that, and the, right?
She's... No.
Okay. All right.
I have a manager, not an agent. It's different.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, but I mean, you could see how these things could take a while.
Yes. It was very difficult to get published.
Right.
But I don't have an agent.
But I think it's a good idea. The only thing is, here's the weird thing. And as I said, we've been talking very binary all show. Two hilarious results. But the world's not binary anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, does the apology you never got, do you think that translates to a non-binary world or the LGBT community?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the fetish community.
What's that?
Or the fetish community.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really just translates to everything, because really it all comes back to self. It's all about whatever's happened to you in whatever aspect, you can't let it continue to affect you, because all that does is hurt your life. So whatever person or event, or I mean, it all comes back to, this is our work. This is our opportunity to create a life that we actually do want. And all of these resentments are what's keeping us from doing that. And as hard as it is, you know, and it's not about saying whatever that person did is okay, because obviously it's not, but you know, it's about just not letting it continue to mess up your life and your dating and your relationships, because that's just continuing that pain cycle. Like, you're not hurting them. They've moved on. They're doing, you know, whatever it is that they're doing.
No, I'm sure
you're the one stuck.
Yeah. I'm sure there's plenty of toxic relationships in all communities, but
yes.
And I'm assuming you don't believe in polyamory, or it doesn't work for you.
It doesn't work for me. Yeah, I think I'm still kind of feeling that one out as far as what my thoughts are on it. I've really had a hard time seeing anyone who was really successfully, emotionally successful in it, as far as like everyone participating was in a good spot with it. Like, everyone that I've worked with has had, like, at least one person in the group is not fully committed to it and is like, I didn't really want this, or I'm not okay with it. So I think it's just kind of like any other, you know, sexual preference or relationship preference, like everyone's got to be on board. And so I think finding a situation where everyone is on board seems to be tricky. I'm sure it can be done. I'm sure people can be like, oh, well, my friends, you know, are doing it and they love it. And that's great. But I think it's just a very difficult situation to make everyone happy in. I'll say that.
Right. Yeah. I actually dated a polyamorous woman and didn't first date was great. We had a great time. And then the second date, she's like, are you free next week? Because John wants to meet you and we're going to have a board game night. I'm like, I'm not playing Scrabble with your other lovers. That's not going to happen. And so I couldn't do it. I'm sorry.
But, yeah.
And now you've been all over, you know, at least the bottom half of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody tells me, and I had somebody at the wedding I went to on Saturday tell me this, that LA is the worst place to date.
It's pretty bad. I won't lie to you. It's a lot of work on the front end to make sure somebody's, you know, kind of on the same page with you. It's a lot of things. You know, you obviously have a lot of, you know, actors or wannabe actors or musicians. And so there can be a lot of ego. Are you attracted
to that artistic type?
I love creative people, but that can get tricky with egos is where I really pull back. And that is, you know, definitely
And you're a creative type, so you have an ego too.
I probably do. I do. But I try. Of course, we are all works in progress, but I don't feel like it's a reason to be able to treat other people badly. I don't think like, oh, you were an extra in Schitt's Creek. Okay, that doesn't mean you get to like be a jerk. Like you're not God. Like, come on. Like you can't even see you in that scene. You were in it for 5 minutes. But like the ego behind some of it is just like unreal, just unreal. So it's kind of like navigating like,
well, and LA also has all of the men are looking at all the hot women. Most of the women, not all the women, but most of them are looking at the men's success rate. And it's like, it's almost like you have a catalog. You have so many options to go through and you're always looking for the next best thing. And people don't really take the time to just sit there and be in a relationship.
Yeah, that's also, I have noticed that too. Yeah.
They're always looking at other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're both attractive women. I would just think that you would just have your pick. You're just like, okay, yeah, no, no, yes, no, 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 yes, you know.
Well, and, you're assuming the men don't have their pick too. Men have plenty.
I don't have my pick. I guarantee you that. I and most men don't, because most men have to be the aggressor. They say 10% of men are dating 90% of the women in LA. I can see that.
Yeah, it's hard here for sure. But I have to say, I mean, even when I was in Austin, it wasn't vastly different. It wasn't like, you know what I mean? I think big cities in general, you're going to attract a little bit of the ego and things.
Yeah. You disagree with me, Nicole? You think men do have choice?
I think I have not been with a single man who's been monogamous the entire time. I think men are always looking at other women.
Not always.
Every single man I've dated. Every single one. And that's a lot of men.
Right. By the way, the men that you have not dated and you've been friends with would be monogamous with.
I'm not going to date my friends, Mark.
No, I'm not asking you.
Also, not true, because Sebastian and I have been friends for fucking, I didn't say his name the last time, but I had been friends with Sebastian for 3 years and he treated me like shit when we finally dated. So that is not true either.
All right, that's just one guy. Trust me.
I disagree. I think
we've had this argument before. We've had this argument. So before, and where does the time go, man? We've been talking all sorts of weird
things. I know.
It's just one here and there. But let me ask you right now, how's your dating life now?
My dating life now is good. Yeah.
You got a boyfriend or?
No, I've been like casually dating. I've just been kind of in transition with my move and just all these different things. So I've just kind of taken a second to breathe. And, but yeah, I've been casually dating. I've a couple guys I've been seeing and it's been going really well and I've been enjoying it. So.
And when you meet a man, do you really like, oh yeah, I do a dating column and I just wrote a book.
It's been a deal breaker for people. It really has.
Really?
Yeah, it has. So, which is fine. I get it, I guess. Because, you know, obviously some of the guys they date end up being, you know, the centerfolds, I guess. And so I could see it, but I'm like, you know, you're not going to end up in my stuff if you're not an asshole. So if you're saying you want out now, then thank you for letting me know that you will be an asshole in the future.
You know, now that you say that, I can relate to that, because I've had some women like, you're not going to talk about this in your act, are you? I'm like, no. I talk about somebody, if I talk about somebody in my act, I do get their permission first. And even then, it's made for some awkward moments, but that's a whole nother thing. But yeah. That's good. I'm glad. So you're kind of like Nicole. You've reached this part, and I would say I'm probably at the same place where, you know what? Let's have fun.
Let's just have somebody. Fun. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been working over the past like 2 years, I guess, on just what my real deal breakers are. Like, okay, is this okay? Is this not okay? So I feel like the last year I've just gotten super clear on what I want, what I don't want, what's okay, what's not. And then after that, like the past year has just been really phenomenal as far as like.
And what's a deal breaker for you?
Yeah. I mean, just toxic interactions, I guess. Like if we're bringing out the worst in each other, or somebody's talking to me in a certain way, like we're just not going to do that. If somebody uses like drugs every day, like we're not going to do this. Or if somebody's like, you know, just got so many issues or emotional problems that they can't take on anything else, or it just takes up all the space in the room, it's like, you know, that's just not going to work for me where I'm at right now. Or you know, just different things where it's not that, of course, they have to be perfect. I'm not perfect. We all have our issues that we're working on, but I've just really gotten very clear of like, this is what works in my life and this is what doesn't. And after that, it's just been really clear of like, you know, if I go on a date, I'm very honest afterwards of like, you know, this is just not going to work for me. It was really nice meeting you. And I just don't waste time on it. Like I'm not wasting their time. I'm not wasting my time.
Funny you should mention that, because I was going to ask you and Nicole. Because I've had women tell me that this is a big mistake, and a part of the reason that I'm not in a relationship is because, and this, I came to this realization a while ago, and this is just my personal preference, but first date is coffee, tea, or a drink. Is that bad?
I don't think that's bad.
And I'll tell you the reasoning why. Because if the date doesn't go well and we're not vibing, mm-hmm. All right, we just sat there for an hour, that's it.
Yeah.
Instead of a whole dinner, or I'm going to take you to this. Or
no, I agree. Yeah.
I always do drinks for the first date.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because then you're not stuck in it. And you really
I call it the pre-date before the date.
No, I agree. Right. I think that's great.
No, I think that's totally what you should be doing.
Because mm-hmm. Women,
I don't think it would change your odds if you took the girl out to dinner. I don't.
No, same.
No, second date, sure. If we got along, it's like, okay, I want to be with this person. Let's go to dinner. Let's go to a concert. Let's go to this.
Yeah. No, yeah. I agree.
I think you're doing it the right way. Same. Okay. It's the way I do it.
Because okay, yeah, I'm having a tea date on Thursday. So.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that goes, and she's a bit mystical herself. So she's probably picking up on this whole show, and I don't know what that's going to do. But anyway, I'm glad that. Nicole's very happy with her dating life, it seems, as of late.
We'll talk about it when I get off this. I don't want to explain it on air because it's complicated, but there's a reason I said it the way I said it.
No, but you come to the realization of what you want. You want fun, and you're having fun. That's what I'm saying. It's not any specific guy. I'm just saying you're having fun dating now.
Yeah, thank you.
Bethany is having fun dating.
We're having fun.
And I am having fun dating. And apologize to you if I was out of line on anything that I said in the show. I don't think I was, but if
not
I,
at all.
I know I interrupted you a few times, and I apologize about that.
So that's one apology. Thank you. That it's you not an apology get. I'll never get. It's one I got. Thank you.
And by the way, I'm apologizing on behalf of Zoom, not myself, because there's a delay. And Zoom, I hate Zoom.
I know. Though
Zoom was fine today, but I think Zoom caused the pandemic. By the way.
I could see that.
Because I never heard of it before the pandemic.
And I know. And now we can't live our lives without it. I know.
Well, one more thing. How was your dating life in the pandemic? I mean, I guess we're still going through it, but when everything was shut down.
I mean, I kind of just took a break, you know, and went out occasionally, like when things kind of calmed down, did a lot of like Zoom first dates, which was like not my jam. But
you did Zoom dates?
I did a couple, and then I was like, this just isn't working for me. I would rather do like a phone call than a Zoom date. Like, but yeah, I mean, it was pretty calm during the pandemic. I just kind of took the time to like, work on my writing, work on myself.
I lucked out. I met a person right before the pandemic, and we just met up at his house every week for like a whole year.
That's so nice. That's dream. Yeah. Yeah.
Neither one of us saw anybody else by just by pure default because
next pandemic, man. Now I know. Now I'm ready.
On the other hand, I went on a date with this woman in November when everything was shut down. Mm-hmm. And we had the date at Ralph's supermarket because it's the only thing open. How romantic. We're in the frozen food section, and you know, and she's like,
yes, heated things like, oh my up. God,
they've got toilet paper here. They're out of it at Costco. That's not a romantic date. Anyway, Bethany, you've been a delight, and I definitely want to have you back. Please, tell us all that you have going on, all your websites, all your upcoming books and events, and how we can get readings from you and all of that.
Yeah. So the most recent thing is I have a feature in LA Entrepreneurs Magazine, which came out yesterday. So you can check that out on their website. They also have it in hard copy. But really the best way to kind of keep up book readings, book freelance stuff, all of that is my website, which is BethanyNicole.com. And then my Instagram is at BethanyNicoleAuthor.
That other Bethany took taking your name. Now you have to have a Nicole's your middle name, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Very nice. So it's BethanyNicole.com, mm-hmm. and all sorts of interesting articles. And you're a really good writer. I love it. I can't wait for the book to come out.
Thank you.
And another great author, Nicole. Tell everybody where they can find you and what you got going on.
I'm at Nicole6Books on Instagram and NicoleH6 on Facebook, and you can just follow me on my regular social media for my announcements. I'm in the process of selling my first screenplay, and it's a new experience.
And you could still pick up your horror short story anthologies, My Fucked Up Shit Ghosts on Amazon.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble, yep.
Barnes & Noble. And maybe a used bookstore that might have a copy. I doubt it because people like it. They want
to keep it. They do seem to keep it, but you can find it used. If you go to Amazon, there's always like a couple of used ones for like half the price. And I really don't see any of that money. So get your money's worth.
buy it new. And I'm Goth Comedian on all social media.